Hi, this is Zachary Hill.
And this is Maria Buyukos.
And you're listening to Creative Honey.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Creative Honey. Today, we're going to be talking about a little bit more of a techie topic than normal. We were browsing around and came across a number of articles that were talking about how Samsung just released its SmartThings home hub. It's the second generation of this product, and it just kind of caught our interest and kind of got us on a whole topic of thinking of all these different types of smart technology and how they affect us and all of that kind of good stuff.
Yeah, I think it's interesting how we are advancing technology in general and how fast we're innovating since the Industrial Revolution, I guess. And I think that's been accelerated. And maybe, I guess we're going to argue an alarming level or rate. And I guess we're going to talk about that. And maybe when is there such a thing as too much innovation? Are we over-innovating our culture and our society? And, yeah, what are some of the pros and cons of coming up with cool new stuff that's going to make our lives more convenient, more quote-unquote safe, and easier to live, right?
Definitely. There could be a lot of potential pros to having a smart technology for everything from a smart home, smart cities, and small gadgets that are smart that keep track of your health, your driving, and all these other types of things. But is there an inherent invasion of privacy that could come with all these things? You know, like they're meant to obviously create ease of use, you know, and save us time with things, but because they're connected digitally, they're connected via an internet connection, could that potentially pose a threat, you know, with putting these things in your most sacred aspect of your life, which is your home?
Do you have any examples of these things kind of taking place today?
Yeah, actually, upon researching, we stumbled across a number of reports about the new video baby monitors being hacked and creepy people getting on there and controlling the video cameras and speaking through the monitor, and it being a really unnerving experience for parents. And there's also accounts of the newer cars, since they're so computerized, having like the brake system hacked and things like that. Like, it's kind of a little alarming because, you know, we see these shiny new gadgets and we think that looks cool, but I don't know if we always think about the potentials that could invade our privacy.
No, I think that's a good point, but I'm going to come back with a question. Should we let fear of the repercussions of innovation stop us from innovating?
No, I mean, I think we should continue to innovate, but fear is obviously something that humans inherently respond to very strongly. Like, that could really make or break the decision once, like, governments can use fear tactics, you know, things like that have historically worked very well. But sometimes it's just a matter of using proper security when you're using these gadgets. I was reading that a lot of times things get hacked because they don't have a strong or no password at all. And sometimes the technology is not encrypted. So things like smart cities in certain parts of the world are getting hacked or be easily hacked because of the lack of encryption, things like that. So maybe it's a matter of being more diligent about the way we secure these smart items.
I think I understand what you're trying to say is that if we're going to innovate, especially in today's culture, we should innovate smartly and efficiently and with care. That when we come up with new products and devices and inventions, we should be able to protect them and protect their uses, I guess, or limit them, and maybe even in a way, just, you know, because we fear hacking, we fear lack of security, we fear the government, we fear a lot of different things, and we want to protect ourselves. And that's kind of, that's why a lot of these devices are being created in the first place, for security, you know. So I understand what you're trying to say, for sure. I think we need to innovate smartly when we innovate.
Oh, definitely. But I also think about, you know, are we over-designing technology for the home? You know, are some of these things inhibiting human interaction to a greater extent? You know, it's already kind of started with, you know, certain social medias. Like, people have, you know, speak a lot about how social media takes away that human contact, which is so vital and important. But, you know, being able to see your family from a video camera in your home while you decide to work later, you know, like things like that, like, oh, you've had this sense of security that you don't actually have to interact with, let's say, your family or your pet or whatever. It gives you like an excuse, because of that safety, to like be away more from your household and things like that.
Yeah, but I have another question for you. I'm full of questions today. Isn't innovation being led, you know, or the product designers, the designers in general, aren't they simply being led by the demand for these things? Like, social media took off because people had a desire to network and interact on a digital level rather than a human level. And there's a demand for convenience with what you're talking about, with, you know, recording, you know, your family entering and exiting your home and seeing that everything's fine at your home so you could work more or be more efficient. That's kind of what's being demanded. And we live in a supply and demand capitalist society, you know, not to get too ranty, but that's what we're talking about here. So at the end of the day, I think especially now more than ever, demand is driving innovation, and you could argue that it always has, right?
Yeah, I could. Yeah, exactly. These devices are being created because we've had this view of the future for a very long time about smart technology and, you know, these crazy electronics and the ability to have things in the blink of an eye. You know, these are all things that have been fantasized about by people way ahead of their time, and we're making it come to life now.
But I'm trying to say it's always been that way.
Yeah.
We were cold, so we built a fire. We wanted to farm, so we built the tools to create agriculture. We wanted to fly, so we built a plane. We wanted to mass produce, so we built factories. We wanted instant connectivity, so we built the internet. You see what I'm trying to say? So I think that as long as that's what we're, you know, as long as we're doing this to benefit mankind, I think it's fine. I think it's what we're trying to do at the end of the day. I think Maria is talking about the fears and the downsides of this innovation. I think that's very real. But I think some of these things that we're talking about will benefit people and will benefit society in a lot of ways. And that's kind of why we should be designing new products and inventing new technologies and, you know, and do it within reason and be cautious. I'm one of those people that believes in global warming. And you know, some of the innovations that mankind has made for themselves has resulted in a kind of, you know, sickness or damage to the planet. So I think what I'm trying to say is that we shouldn't be afraid of innovation, but we need to be responsible innovators.
I super agree with that. I think the issue is not the technology itself. It's the inherent temptation to abuse the technology by people who want more information about the public, you know, like it's just human nature in a way. And I feel like it's very altruistic to want to do something that makes people's lives easier, but you know, who is the one or who is the entity that is able to tap into these things, who moderates these things, you know, and that's part of the reason what people have already experienced with the smart technology, like, you know, you have a medical device implanted in your body that is saving your life, and then someone hacks into it and turns off your pacemaker, which has happened. You know, it's like, that is like the ultimate vulnerability.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure those things happen, and I'm not doubting that they do, but does that inspire us not to invent that, you know, wireless, innovative item for the human body to allow someone to live in the first place? So I guess what I'm trying to pose is that we should be aware of security concerns, but we shouldn't let security concerns stop us from building some of these things. And we should try to, you know, beef up our security, with lack of a better phrase, you know, as when we design websites, that's one of my first and last concerns, is how are we protecting a website from being hacked? And that's always really important to me, you know, when I'm approaching something in the digital realm. Because I've personally experienced it, and it stinks. So yeah, we should be aware of the potential downsides, but do we let those downsides stop us from inventing new things in the first place?
No, I don't think we should stop inventing. I think that we should make more of an effort to secure items, or provide that sense of security, so people don't have to worry so much, because these things are frankly really cool, and they could save people a lot of time. So there's a lot of positives that can come out of this, you know. It makes you more secure, but there's also, it's like, again, who has the access to get into these items if they wanted to? And so, you know, like, it's just a matter of being diligent. Like, if someone's designing a smart city, they should probably not leave it unencrypted, which is what's happened. You know, it's like common sense stuff, what you would think.
For sure. Yeah. I think that's kind of, you know, having unbridled invention and innovation, you know, and unbridled progress is a scary thing. You know, we've seen economic systems be unchecked and unbridled, do serious damage on a country level. You know, then we've seen, you know, unbridled products, you know, do damage more on a micro level. We just heard about, you know, Volkswagen and their standards, their emission standards being fudged. So there's an example of, you know, unbridled pursuit of progress, where, you know, that company was more concerned about the perception of success and progress rather than the actual progress. So I think, again, it goes back to what I was trying to say, is that we need to just innovate with caution, I suppose.
Yes, we should definitely innovate with caution. All designers and innovators should definitely think about all the pros and cons when they're designing. Sometimes as designers, our egos can get the best of us, and we want to design something that's just cool. Like, or we fall in love with our idea so much that sometimes we miss the most basic, like, aspects of the functionality of it, or the implications it could have on people's lives. You know, like, we get lost in the fun of it, I guess, sometimes. So I think it's kind of a call to be more responsible designers, and to really think out these things when we're coming up with them.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I think, again, just what I keep saying, let's innovate, let's design wonderful products and build new startups, and, you know, just make it secure, and ask yourself why you're inventing the things that you're inventing, or coming up with the new products or the new app or the brand new shiny whatever it is. Are, you know, is it going to benefit us in some way? And, you know, I know that sounds really kind of pompous and ridiculous even, but it doesn't have to be benefiting mankind in the way that the discovery of fire or the invention of the airplane did. Maybe we're making, maybe a product or an invention makes life a little funnier, you know, with a movie or a book. Maybe it makes it a little easier with a, you know, smart device, that some of the things we've been talking about. Maybe it just makes things just better in a small way. But I think, you know, that's kind of what I try to do when I think of new things to work on individually. It's like, how can whatever I'm going to work on make things better for someone else other than myself? So I would suggest to anyone that's interested in a startup or, you know, being an engineer, an inventor, or an innovator, let that be your North Star. You know, how you can make life better, even if it's like just in really, really tiny increments.
Yeah, I totally agree. These are very important things to think about, and it adds humanity to everything that we do. It's not just, we're not in a vacuum. And I have to say that, you know, looking at all this in general, it's just kind of a trip to see like the books you read when we were kids that were written like way long ago. All these things are coming to life. There's no way it's going to stop or diminish unless we get hit by a meteor or something. But these are, in a way, like, even if we're uncomfortable about smart technology, we do have to like end up embracing it, because we're just going to be going in that forward momentum. People are getting addicted to that convenience that we have, that we've already, that has already been started and displayed with through apps and things like that, mobile technology.
Anyone that's seen WALL-E knows that the dangers of over innovation and creating solely for convenience. So yeah, I think when I was talking about earlier, when I was saying that we should do something that, you know, advances mankind, even if it's just increments, it shouldn't always be for convenience purposes. That's not what we should always be advancing. Because I don't know about you, I don't want to be like a really fat blobby guy, even though I'm probably on my way with what I eat. But I don't want to get to that point where I'm like on this floating chair watching TV while like little robots are trying to save my life. I'm sorry I spoiled any of the... If you haven't seen WALL-E, I hope I didn't spoil anything.
I don't think you did.
Okay, good. Just and if you haven't seen that movie yet, what's wrong with you?
That's the best movie. Yeah. I love that movie.
Seriously.
You should see it again sometime soon.
Yeah, I totally agree.
That would be cool. I kind of need a fix.
I apologize. We're going way off track here.
Anyway, so WALL-E.
Yes.
No, but WALL-E does actually, I guess, show us a picture, an extreme caricature, obviously, but... of what could end up. People always like, I've always heard people say like, oh, maybe like, you know, I don't know, hundreds of thousands of years from now, like we'll just be like, our bodies will be like totally incapable of doing anything. And we're just going to be brains, you know, like you hear that a lot, because the way things are going, like people are sitting at their desks, like hours and hours a day, like, and you know, forget to exercise and take care of our bodies. So like, what good is a technology that's going to help us have more convenience and ease of use and like and health when we're not actually like tuning into our physical bodies? It's all kind of a lot of things to think about.
Well, yeah, another thing to think about, even if I'm slightly going off track here, is the age of automation's coming in more than just what we're putting in the home, but it's about labor, you know. Mm-hmm. We were, you know, going back to WALL-E, we were less blobby when we were working, and when we as humans are laboring in some way or another. You know, since the Industrial Revolution, we've done less, you know, labor as in finding food and shelter, and more, let's type numbers into a spreadsheet, and as visual, you know, UX, UI, digital illustrators, whatever you want to call what we do, we're definitely a part of that. You know, that's what, you know, I do most of the day, is do white collar, stare at a screen work. That's what I do. And that's starting to go away. You know, so what are we going to do? You know, we're talking about innovation inside the home to make life more convenient. convenient, I should say. What are we going to do when innovation takes away our jobs? It's already started to happen. What do you think there are the repercussions of that?
Oh, I think that it's bound to happen. People have talked about it for a long time. And I mean, people, the way automation's coming in is it could be disguised as like a convenience that we could do higher level things, but higher level things are eventually going to get automated in ways too, as they already have begun.
There's a company claiming that, and I believe it's true, that they have a algorithm that will create custom websites.
Oh, I think I remember you telling me about this.
So that's obviously, we're involved with that industry personally.
Ah.
So that's supposed to be kind of like a job that only people could do, right? Being taken away by a robot. So nothing's safe, I guess. And we're probably scaring the crap out of you if you're listening to this. Like,
you're
basically, what we're trying to say is that you're going to get spied on by the government and you won't have a job.
Essentially. That should actually be the title.
I'm actually super kidding. Hopefully you're laughing. And if you aren't laughing, how can we make someone laugh, Maria? Is there hope to any of this that we're talking about? Oh, she's pausing. That's not good.
Yes, there's hope to everything. At least that's me being the optimist. Even though I was just very like, scary technology, but no, actually I'm quite optimistic, and I think smart technology is really starting to make advances in automation. The positive things that can happen is through the medical technology, especially like people who have lost limbs, so making prosthetics that are computerized. Of course someone could hack into them, right? They're not probably secured, but these limbs are extremely high tech, and they're getting more and more fine motor use for these items, and it's just amazing to see how it could really physically change someone's life. And in that case, the small possibility of having your limb hacked is way overshadowed by the ability to be like a functioning human being able to do things, physical things again in a fairly normal capacity. And that's just like incomparable. Like that is to me where my favorite smart technology lies in the medical field.
Yeah, I agree. I was kind of, I could be way like off base here or wrong or incorrect, but I saw something where like people are printing like 3D
yes,
limbs now, 3D
that.
Printing limbs.
So cool.
And you know, they're able to be fully functional. Like, that's cool. I don't, you know what? If you want to take my job, and as a result we get to print limbs, I'm all for that. I really am. Like, I think that's so just overall give and take for the greater good. And I think it's kind of what Maria was talking about. But I guess I want to ask the question that maybe a lot of our listeners might be asking, because this is kind of the most kind of off our usual line of topics. This topic's been like the most off topic, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of meta, I guess. But how does this tie into the world of creative professionalism? Like, how does all this tie into being a photographer or a designer? And we kind of scratch the surface on design a little bit, or an artist or anything like that. Like, do you think there's a connection or a correlation? I think definitely artists will, especially just hardcore fine art visual artists, will definitely be responding to that, you know. And I think they've already have. I've seen plenty of artwork that's commenting on the certain negative aspects of technology. Banksy's Dismaland is definitely a prime example and just recently popped out there. But stop rambling and I kind of re-ask the question. So how's it tie in? How's it tie in to our average listeners and their experiences?
Well, as we talk about a lot, creativity is encompassed in a number of fields. It's expressed in a number of ways, even ways that we don't normally think about it, like in terms of creativity. But someone is creating technologies. There's industrial designers and engineers creating these smart objects. There's people designing the aesthetic, and the aesthetic is part of what makes it like tantalizing. Like, ooh, I want this spacey looking item. We are not only coming up with the functionality, but we're also making it look appealing, and that's part of the marketing that goes behind it all. You know, we are part of the movement that is creating smart technology. We are all involved in it, and you know, we're all working in some way, because now all of our jobs are kind of moving towards really technology based fields, that we have to start thinking about these types of things. These are directly affecting us, and also what we end up doing later on in our careers. It's just going to be more techie as with every passing year.
Yeah, I completely agree. And on a broader level, away from the design or commercial art industry, technology has just radically affected fine art. Mm-hmm. You know, for example, does abstract art progress the way it does if it were for the camera? You know, because pre-camera, painting super realistic photos of families and God and other things was like the way to go. Mm-hmm. You know, now with the invention of the camera, you know, there was a desire. Now there was, the artist was freed to explore other things that ended up, you know, birthing a lot of, you know, artistic movements that have become pillars in, you know, modern art history. And as we see advancement in technology, that technology pushes art into new and interesting directions. You know, artists are exploring light and color with, you know, use of technology, and it's exciting.
Yeah, and it's kind of crazy to see, again, the smarter technology becomes, the more the artists are moving towards literally drawing directly onto a screen. Like, the new iPad came out, has a refined stylus. It's meant for people to interact with it in that way, to create things digitally. Like, there's no translation, there's no scanning it in or anything. Like, you're missing the whole component, like, of getting your hands dirty and, like, you know, getting paint all over you and stuff. Like, now it's like this very clean, neat kind of way to create, and you could just push the undo button. Now I don't want that anymore. You can't do that on a canvas so easily.
No, yeah. Well, I think we talked about this before. I mean, when it relates to art, is that it's technology is making it easier and easier to make art. So it's, you know, since the invention of the camera, right, talking about art, you know, it stopped being about how we make art. You know, we used to focus on, oh, that skill, that's so skilled, so realistic, and we still do. There's still a lot of value in how well a piece of art is made or a design is made. But now, more important, you know, what's more important now more than ever is why we make something and what's the concept and the content behind something we make, you know, in any of these creative fields, commercial or non-commercial, is that we now have the tools and the abilities to say something. And those tools and abilities are available to a lot of people now. And a lot of, you know, you hear people, like for photographers, for example, you know, I know a lot of good photographers that, of course, get upset with, you know, this Instagram culture that everyone with a decent, you know, iPhone or Android and an Instagram feed could call themselves like a photographer now. And yeah, that's true. And you know, every industry is super oversaturated now because of, you know, the access to tools. But now I'm pretty sure we talked about this in other podcasts, but now it comes down to the content. What is the content? And to wrap it up, we just talked about how, you know, there's an algorithm and a computer out there that's going to be able to churn out websites, you know, probably that'll look pretty good, but what's the content, you know, or how are they producing the content? Do they understand users and pain points and, you know, experience, human experiences? And that's where we come in, I should say. So there's still, going back to that hope, no device is going to replace a human mind. So my advice for any creative person out there, and this is something I've had to tell myself because I've been really focused on aesthetic, you know, in the last couple of years, I've kind of grown up a little bit and shift courses. Your brain and how you think and how you communicate what you think is more important now. And if you are good at doing that, you're going to be successful at whatever you do, whether it's fine art, commercial art, or any kind of business. Because a human brain, even if we do come up with artificial intelligence, and I know we're getting close to doing that, can never replace an actual human brain.
Exactly. Amen to that. And yeah, so I mean, you know, the moral of the story is that things are evolving very rapidly with technology. You know, we're going to obviously go along with the ride because that's how society's morphing, but we could be more thoughtful. We could think about things that are mundane, like security, and, you know, just be more thoughtful designers in general. While we're making something look pretty, it's also functional, and it's also something that's safe for the user. And that goes back to, you know, cultivating the idea of user experience. And so, yeah, I mean, I think we'll always want to use our hands and always want to, people, even if they're working on crazy technology, I think a lot of people still have the need for that hobby, you know, to go garden or to build something, you know, because it's part of our being, you know, that's what got us this far in the first place. But yeah, I mean, this is, we just wanted to try something a little different, you know, technology is part of what we do. If you guys have any suggestions at all, like we always say, please feel free to email us at creativehoney.info@gmail.com. We'd love to hear what you think. Any suggestions you have for future podcasts, we are open.
And, you know, to be honest, it's really good to be back. I know we've been gone for like a few weeks. And, you know, we've been just doing some creative soul searching. You know, I know I have been personally. And, you know, I've been evolving as just a creative professional. And, you know, I'm going to be writing about it. If you follow me on social media, I post what I write and what I read religiously almost. So definitely find me on Facebook or Instagram. And you can kind of learn about what I've been going through lately. And, you know, Maria and I have some new things in the works that we've been working on together. And we're excited to share that with you guys soon. So we just, you know, we appreciate anyone that's listening to us, you know, and still listening to us, even though we took a long break. And, you know, hopefully it'll be worth it, right?
Definitely. And we're super excited to bring on some guests in the very near future. We want to continue that because that's really, really fun.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah, I absolutely agree. Guests are awesome. You know, I'm lucky enough to have some pretty cool friends, and I know Maria has some pretty cool friends, too, that are really smart and really knowledgeable in some of the things we want to talk about. So, yeah, look forward to more people talking to us. Yeah.
Indeedy. Well, everyone, thank you so much for listening again. We hope you all have a great week. And we will be back hopefully next week with another podcast.
Yeah, definitely.
Or episode.
Yes. Bye, guys.
Bye.